This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's headlines, and the reverberations from Tuesday's special Senate election in Massachusetts are being felt easily and frequently here in Washington on Wednesday. On Tuesday night, by a 5-point margin, 52-47, Republican Scott Brown defeated Democratic State Attorney General Martha Coakley to win the seat held for nearly five decades by the late Senator Ted Kennedy. At his victory rally in Boston on Tuesday night, Scott Brown says the independent voice of Massachusetts spoke loud and clear.
The voters of this Commonwealth defied the odds and the experts. Tonight, the independent majority has delivered a great victory.
On Wednesday morning, Senator-elect Brown met with the media and talked about why he was able to win in such a Democratic-leaning state. He says he's a different kind of Republican.
Bottom line is, I was asked many times what kind of Republican I would be, and I really didn't know how to answer that, so I just said I'm going to be a Scott Brown Republican. Maybe there's a new breed of Republican coming in Washington. Maybe people will finally look at somebody who's not beholden to the special interests of the party and who will look to, you know, just to solve problems.
On the Democratic side, a lot of head-scratching, a lot of finger-pointing, and a whole lot of blame going around. Some say the National Democratic Party dragged down Martha Coakley. Others say she was a deeply flawed candidate. For her part, Tuesday night, Coakley says there will be a lot of examination of what went wrong.
There will be plenty of Wednesday morning quarterbacking about what happened and what went right, what went wrong. And I know that everyone, including me, I am brutally honest on my own performances. We will be honest about the assessment of this race.
One of the controversies that emerged in recent days, if Scott Brown won, is would Democrats play games, delaying the certification of the final vote in Massachusetts that would in turn delay his seating in the U.S. Senate and possibly allow a 60-vote Democratic majority to pass through a final version of health care reform. That now appears very unlikely, but Brown is still pushing the issue to be seated as soon as possible. He says he realizes some absentee ballots have still yet to be counted, but it's the contention of his campaign that there's not enough votes left to be counted that could possibly change the outcome.
And I'm confident that it will show that the margin of victory exceeds the amount of the outstanding absentee ballots. And since the election is not in doubt, I'm hopeful that the Senate will seat me on the basis of those unofficial returns, just as they did for Ted Kennedy in 1962, and more recently for Nikki Tsongas in 2007.
Senate Republican leaders are also not appearing nervous about this issue anymore, as expressed by Republican Minority Leader Mitch McConnell on Wednesday.
I'm convinced now that no gamesmanship will be played by the other side with regard to future votes in the Senate. Thanks to Senator Jim Webb of Virginia, he's made it clear he will not participate in any additional health care votes prior to Senator Brown being sworn in.
And there you heard McConnell reference the most immediate impact of this huge Republican win in Massachusetts. What will happen next on the health care front? McConnell says when it comes to federal spending, the approach to creating jobs, or what to do about health care reform, the people of Massachusetts spoke loud and clear.
And I think we heard a large and resounding message yesterday in one of the most, if not arguably the most, liberal states in America. The people of Massachusetts spoke and spoke loudly.
Arizona Senator John McCain, who of course was the Republican presidential nominee 2 years ago, says the message from the voters of Massachusetts and really from all of America through that vote is to stop the push for this version of health care reform and to start over again in an open, bipartisan way.
So, Mr. President, here we are. Now the rumors are that they'll jam this proposal through the House of Representatives and then bypass what has always been the normal legislative process. They should not do that. The American people have spoken. The people of Massachusetts have spoken for the rest of America. Stop this process. Sit down in open and transparent negotiations. Let's begin from the beginning.
But by all accounts, the president is going full steam ahead with his agenda as it is. Over at the White House on Wednesday, Press Secretary Robert Gibbs says the president believes deeply in this reform package, and he'll continue fighting for it.
It was a priority then. It's a priority now. We are working through the best way forward as the president continues his commitment to get health care reform done.
So what are the Democrats' options to get it done? Well, one would be to pick off at least one Republican and still be able to break the filibuster, but that seems unlikely. The most likely scenario would be to pick off Olympia Snow of Maine, but she has had a pretty prickly relationship with Senator Harry Reid, who recently said that Olympia Snow, despite earlier negotiations in 2009 on this bill, never had any intention of supporting the legislation. And Snow says that is simply not true. Also, the House could simply pass the Senate bill as is, but both liberals and conservatives in the House Democratic Caucus have big problems with this plan, as is in the Senate, because it offers no protections for union members on the taxes for those Cadillac health plans. And, of course, pro-life Democrats are not satisfied with the protection for taxpayers on funding abortions in the Senate version of that legislation. The other idea is to strip it down into smaller pieces and pass them one at a time on the more popular provisions, such as covering pre-existing medical conditions. Or there's the reconciliation process, which would just require a simple majority to pass the U.S. Senate. All of those are very complicated. All of those are seen as extremely unlikely at this time. Some Democrats in the wake of Massachusetts saying the Democrats just need to back off and try something else when it comes to health care. Others say the bill is now just dead on arrival. In other news up on Capitol Hill Wednesday, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano testifying on the near terrorist attack aboard that Northwest airliner between Amsterdam and Detroit on Christmas Day. She says, obviously, there will be new threats in the future, but she says she and her personnel are working doubly hard to make sure that does not happen.
I wish I could tell you, with all of this ongoing work and all of these upcoming actions, that there will never again be another Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab. I cannot do so. What I can tell you is that this administration and the men and women of the DHS are working 110% every day to minimize the likelihood.
And finally today, another huge scare for the people of Haiti as a major aftershock struck the island 8 days after the 7.0 magnitude quake basically crippled the population. A 5.9 magnitude aftershock had a lot of people on edge, but according to most reports, it hasn't done any additional damage, at least not to any great extent. For more on that major aftershock, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. There you'll hear my interview with Don Blackstone, a geophysicist and earthquake analyst for the USGS National Earthquake Information Center. You'll also hear my conversation with Michael Lewin, longtime Democratic strategist, former chief of staff to Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman, who says he expects many Democrats to quickly and distinctly distance themselves from President Obama as they get prepared for the 2010 midterm elections. We'll also be speaking with Tennessee Congressman Marsha Blackburn, get her response as to why Republicans actually won Ted Kennedy's Senate seat, what it means for the midterm elections, and most urgently, what it means for the health care debate. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.